Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim, and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host for today, Jim Dolan, and this is our St. Paddy's Day program. Now, I was trying to find some dramas and stories of St. Paddy's Day. I couldn't really come up with anything off the cuff here. So we're concentrating on music a little bit, because we can always count on that great Irish music. And so we have some of that for you today. It will be in the form of none other than Dennis Day of the Jack Benny Show, the Irish tenor, and he'll be doing, of course, some of his songs there. But first we have Bing Crosby on the Philco Radio Time.
Say, Ken.
Yes, Bing?
What's cooking tonight?
Why, this is our St. Patrick's Day program.
Begorrin' it is.
And incidentally, you're on.
Oh.
Where the blue of the night meets the green of today. A shamrock waits for me.
Welcome you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Rhythm Ayers, and Bing's guest, Margaret O'Brien. And now we bring you Kate Harrigan's greenest groaner, Bing Crosby.
Hey, thanks. How'd you know that my mother's maiden name was Harrigan?
Well, I checked with your brother, Everett.
Oh, that's right. He's the family historian. Uh-huh. He's also in charge of the piggy bank.
Yeah.
Patty's pig, that is. Now, Ken, before we lose this Hibernian mood, the Rhythm Ayers, John Scott, and myself would like to do a song made immortal by Whisperin' Pat Harrington. Eddie John, hear old Donegal.
Three years ago this very day, I left the port of Cork, and on a ship from Old Erin's Isle, I landed in New York. Without a friend to meet me there and a stranger on the shore, but I wore an honest Irish heart and fortune came galore. So here I am back again on dear old Erin's Isle, and the friends, they meet me on the quay and they greet me with a smile. But there's faces there that I surely forgot, for I was so long away. But me mother, she introduces all, and this is what she says.
Shake hands with your Uncle Mike, me boy, shake hands with your sister.
Well, Kitty, me darling,
the girl you used to swing down on the garden. Shake hands with all the neighbors.
Come forward.
And kiss the
kind old.
You're welcome as the stars in nature, dear O'Donegal.
Well, they gave a party when I came back, and they came from near and far, and the road was lined for near a mile with Irish jaunting cars, and the whiskey flowed like buttermilk to fill our hearts with joy, and the piper played an Irish reel to greet the Yankee boy. So tomorrow out to church I'll go, and the wedded I will be to my pretty little calling, sweet Biddy McGee. For Biddy was true and faithful to her Barney o'er the sea, and would join the harp and shamrocks to the stars of liberty. Deck and Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McGuffy, Malachy, Mahoon, Rafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connelly, Dooley, O'Hooley, Muldowney, Mullaw, Colonna, oh, Colonna. How did he get in there? Politics, eh? Shanahan, Manahan, Fogarty, Hogarty, Kelly, O'Skilly, McGinnis, McGinn.
Admiral O'Brien was late.
Then I'll shake the hand of me Uncle Mike and the hand of me Sister Kate, and I'll hug and I'll squeeze as much as I please the girl on the garden gate. Then I'll invite all the neighbors to my wedding, great and small, and I'll live content and pay no rent in dear old
Swell, Bing and Rhythm Ayers. That was really straight from the old sod. You sure can rattle off those Irish names, Bing.
Oh, that's a lot of them, Ken. Harmons, Hogans, O'Dooleys. I could go on forever. The O'Tooles, the O'Reillys, the O'Melvinys.
Yeah. Say, Bing, I've often wondered, are there any O'Filcos in Ireland?
When did you often wonder that?
Just now.
Well, I don't know of any O'Filco family there. Why don't you call Pat O'Brien? Check with him. He'll know.
Oh, really?
No, O'Brien.
Oh. Well, anyhow, Bing, they got to have radio programs in Ireland, don't they?
Oh, sure.
What kind do they have?
Oh, about the same as we have here.
Yeah.
They got Phil Fogarty and his all-Colleen orchestra.
Oh, fine.
They got a program called Truth or the Back of Me Hand to You. And one called People Are Funny, But Watch Out Who You Laugh At.
Yes.
Then there's Amos and Seamus.
Oh, I like that. Good.
John's Other Jug. And The Rise of the Goldbergs. Big over there.
Well, those sound like great shows, Bing. And whether there's no Philco family in Ireland or not, I'm sure lots of folks there listen to Philco radios.
Certainly. The green jobs with the shamrock push buttons and the clay pipe tubes.
And in Ireland, like everywhere else, no matter what you're listening to, all programs sound better on Philco's.
You're so right. Let's have it, Ken, and make it short.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not long for this commercial. No longer than you listeners will be for snapping up Philco's sensational new plastic portable. One fast look and a listen, and you're in business with the slickest, smartest portable radio you ever flipped a switch on. Lightweight plastic case in your choice of four colors, every one an eye-catcher. So's the price, Philco quality all the way through at a sensationally low cost. Breeze on into your Philco dealer now and catch the performance of this new portable champion from Philco, the leader.
Gloria Wood forsakes the Rhythm Airs at this point to join me in Jack Brooks' new tune, Saturday Day. So just the way she sang it on record with Harry Babbitt for Kay Kaiser. Hello, honey. See, you look swell. How you been?
Oh, wonderful. Oh, but don't just stand there. Come on in.
Oh, but haven't we got places to go? A lot of things to do?
Mm-hmm. But I'd like to stay at home. Well, if it's all the same to you.
Well, okay. I got a Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart.
And we plan to spend a wonderful evening at home.
We'll be dining in the kitchen,
dancing in the parlor,
talking when the lights are low,
or just plain sitting
listening to the radio.
My Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart.
As long as we're alone, we're all right.
We're a couple of stay-at-homes on Saturday night.
Honey, let's sit over here where the lights are low.
You mean just you and I and the radio?
Are you happy?
Happy.
Love me?
Guess.
You comfy?
I'm cozy.
Shall we dance?
Oh, yes.
On my Saturday day with my everyday sweetheart.
Long as we're alone, we're all right.
It's a pleasure to be alone
in a world that we call our own.
Shall we do this again?
Well, now you tell me when.
On our Saturday days.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Cause we're a couple of stay-at-homes on Saturday night.
By way of presenting a young lady whose name has been in my special date book for a long time, let me say that here's the perfect example of what happens when you mix sugar and spice. And everything nice. The very charming and talented Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star, Miss Margaret O'Brien. Margaret, it's really nice to see you again. And may I take this opportunity to wish you a very joyous St. Patrick's Day.
Sure now, and I thank ye, Mr. Crosby. And 'tis the very same thing I'm wishing to you.
Well, bless my glockamora. Barry Fitzgerald in a hair ribbon. We got here.
Sure, it is a grand and glorious day that they've set aside in honor of St. Pat.
Sure, and it is that, Maggie Miguel. And let me add that I've never seen you looking more beautiful.
Your eyes, they glimmer like the Irish sun dancing across the waters of the River Shannon. And your cheeks have the tender coloring of the wild Irish rose.
Oh, Mr. Crosby, you and your blarney. How you do go on. And please do go on.
Tis no blarney, McCushla. Tis from me heart.
Faith, and is it now?
Faith, and it is. And if I'm not telling the truth, may the leprechauns put the whammy on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid indeed.
Well, Mr. Crosby, as long as you said so many nice things about me, may I offer you a little blarney?
That you may.
Sure, and your voice is like an Irish thrush pouring out its heart. Huh. And your eyes are as blue as the skies over the lakes of Killarney. Huh. And those clothes you're wearing.
Yes.
Finian's Rainbow.
Margaret, we better cut this out or we'll have Ajax Cassidy moving in here from Allen's Alley.
I guess you're right, Mr. Crosby.
I'm sure happy to see you tonight because I want to thank you for something, Margaret.
What's that?
Well, I must say that during the past year, you've had a remarkable influence on my youngest son, Linny.
He's so charming. And you know, Linny was almost voted the most popular boy in our class.
Well, who ran first?
Leslie Peterson.
Leslie Peterson?
He gave us all the measles.
Oh. Everybody went home. I remember that vacation you all had. Tell me, Margaret, how's Linny doing in school then?
All right, I guess. Don't you see his report card?
Report card? He gave me to understand that they don't have report cards at your school.
Oh, well, maybe they just give report cards to the girls at our school.
Mm-hmm.
But really, Mr. Crosby, they're both very good in everything, but history.
History? Why should history give you trouble? Why, when I was your age, I could name all of the presidents in order.
Yes, but there weren't nearly so many of them to remember then.
You're right. The last president I had to remember was a Republican, I think. I've been reading your column in the Family Circle magazine. Pretty good stuff. With your pictures and your schoolwork and everything, I don't see how you find time to write a column.
Well, I visit different places, and I read the newspapers, and I listen to the radio.
Do you ever listen to my program?
Oh, yes, Mr. Crosby. Every day, all day long.
See what you mean.
But my favorite program next to you is Super Neutron, the man with the atomic lungs.
Atomic lungs? Is that standard equipment?
Oh, yes. He just breathes on criminals and they explode.
If the boy ever catches cold, he's in big trouble.
Oh, Super Neutron never catches cold. He eats stratosphere crunchies, the breakfast food that's out of this world.
It's got to be. Got. Do they snap, crackle, and pop?
No, they just go.
Sounds pretty dangerous. Do you eat them?
Certainly. I have to so I can save the box tops.
Ah, yes, the box tops. What do you do with them?
When I get 10 of them, I send them to Super Neutron, and he sends me the secret invisible code message.
For 10 box tops?
Yes, and then I save 10 more, and Super Neutron sends me the chemical formula to make the secret code message visible.
This is pretty fascinating stuff, isn't it? What happens then?
Then I send in 10 more box tops, and Super Neutron sends me the code book so I can read the secret code.
Oh, and what does it say?
It says, "This little girl has sent in 30 box tops."
Oh, look what I've missed being an old oatmeal man.
Not only that, Mr. Crosby, the Super Neutron stories are very interesting.
Oh, well, they probably are, Margaret, but I don't go for these modern stories so much. Whatever happened to the kids who enjoy the old-fashioned fairy tales?
Well, children still like fairy tales.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that.
I've just written a fairy tale for our class play, and I play the part of Cinderella.
Oh, Maggie, you'd be devastating as Cinderella. Who's going to be Prince Charming?
The most charming man I know.
Well, you got the script with you?
Right here. This is your copy.
Thank you.
I mark your part with red Crayola.
Say, it's a clever title. Cinderella Goes to Town.
This is a modern version. I wonder if Mr. Carpenter will play the narrator.
Well, I'd be honored, Margaret. Shall we begin?
But first we must have someone to play Cinderella's two mean sisters.
Well, I've got the people all right. John Scott Trotter. He's not mean, but he's two people all right.
But I was saving him for Cinderella's carriage.
We get another carriage somewhere.
Then I guess we're all ready to begin, Mr. Carpenter.
All right, Margaret. Ladies and gentlemen, Cinderella Goes to Town.
Thank you.
Once upon a time, in 1948, there was a mean and haughty woman who had three daughters, Metro, Goldwyn, and Cinderella.
I'm from Paramount, you know.
Please, Crosby, don't spoil the mood.
I'm sorry. Continue, Cobb.
The two sisters were very mean to Cinderella. All day long, they would sit around eating Hershey bars and popsicles. And poor Cinderella was forced to stay out on the service porch with a Maytag washer and wash May's tags.
Mighty modern dress.
So we only have about a half a show of the St. Patrick's Day show, but you get the idea right there. That's from 1948. So let's get right into Jack Benny.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
American.
Fine tobacco is what counts in a cigarette. And year in, year out.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts.
Season after season, at market after market, independent tobacco experts, men who really know tobacco, can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. Real Lucky Strike tobacco.
And remember, this fine Lucky Strike tobacco means real deep down smoking enjoyment for you.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
The Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, last Thursday night, the Academy Awards were given out to a favored few. All the Hollywood celebrities gathered at the Shrine Auditorium to take their hats off to the winners. And so tonight, we bring you the man who had the hats, checks, and session, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, you shouldn't have introduced me as the man who had the hat check concession at the Academy Awards. I was master of ceremonies, too. And Don, having the hat check concession certainly taught me a lot about those so-called big stars in pictures.
What do you mean, Jack?
You should see the tips they leave. Cary Grant, 15 cents. Clark Gable, 10 cents. Margaret O'Brien, a nickel. I felt like throwing it right back in her face. I couldn't believe it. I thought that, you know, I never saw such small tips. I thought that tambourine I had on the counter would help a little. What? And Don, you know Rex Harrison?
Yes.
A shilling. How do you like that? He thought because it looks like an American quarter, I wouldn't notice it.
A shilling in this country? Well, what can you do with it?
Let the owl drugstore worry about that. I had breakfast there this morning. Anyway, Don, it was really a thrill seeing all those stars get those awards. Harold Russell, Ann Baxter, Frederick March, Olivia de Havilland. Ray Milland.
Ray Milland? Did he win something again this year?
No, he won an award last year. He just came back to get a new cork for it. Anyway, Don, the whole affair was really exciting.
Well, tell me, Jack, who else was there?
Well, there was Jane Wyman, Gregory Peck, Lionel Barrymore, Larry Park, Dinah Shore, Hugo Carmichael.
Hugo Carmichael? Jack, you mean Hoagie Carmichael.
Don, if Hugo is good enough for Sam Goldwyn, it's good enough for me.
But, Jack...
Don, I know what I'm doing. I never worked for Goldwyn. I'm not going to louse up my chances. Anyway, Don, it was such a wonderful affair, I was proud that they picked me as master of ceremonies.
Well, Jack, I can understand you're being honored and thrilled. As a matter of fact, I, too, have something to be proud of.
Really? What, Don?
Well, this is Television Week, and they've asked me to appear on a television program.
You on television? Don, let me look at you. Don, wait a minute. Turn around again, will you? No, it'll never work, Don. It'll never work. You can forget about television.
Why?
They'll never get a 60-inch beam on a 10-inch screen. Believe me.
Oh, Jack, I wish you wouldn't kid me about my size. I'm not so fat.
You're not, eh? How about the time you got stuck in the Hollywood Bowl? I remember... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hello, Don.
Hello, Mary.
What are you talking about, fellas?
Oh, the Academy Awards, television, and Don's stomach. You can take your choice of subject.
Well, I picked television. And, Don, I read a wonderful poem about it.
A poem about television? Well, let's hear it.
Okay. Television is here to stay, and it won't be hard to sell it. Now you can hear and see Jack's show, and soon you'll be able to smell it.
Mallet, Mary, don't talk about my show. Have you ever tuned into Fred Allen's program when the wind is from the east and your air conditioning is fighting a losing battle? It's enough to make you lose faith in your air wick.
Jack, I'm just teasing. If you want to know something, I went to the Academy Thursday, and I thought you were wonderful at Master of Ceremonies.
Well, thanks, Dollface. Thank you.
But I still had a feeling that when they're giving out the awards, you thought the committee was unfair.
I thought the committee was unfair? What gave you that impression?
You were the only one on the stage with a picket sign.
I wasn't picketing. The sign said, "Keep your eye on your own hat and coat. I'm on the stage now." I wasn't a bit jealous. When Olivia de Havilland won her award, I walked right over to her, slapped her on the back, and said, "Congratulations."
What are you laughing at, Barry?
Then Olivia slapped Jack on the back. His toupee slipped down over his eyes, and Jack whispered, "Kiss me, honey." The lights went out.
That was a long speech, and you got it out. But that could happen... I'm always worried about those long speeches. But that could happen to anyone, really.
Oh, but seriously, Jack, I thought you looked wonderful up there on the stage in that good-looking tuxedo. Where'd you rent it?
I didn't rent that tuxedo.
I know you didn't buy it. Now, come on, where'd you get it?
Mary, let's drop the subject. By the way, where were you sitting?
Oh, about the 10th row. And, Jack, you'll never guess who was sitting right in front of me.
Who?
Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman.
Ronald Coleman was there? What was he wearing? Well, you beat me to that, Joe. He must have two of them.
Jack, you...
Mary, we made a deal. Ronnie loaned me his tuxedo, and I returned his lawnmower. Now, what's the use of being neighbors?
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Dennis.
I'm sorry I'm late, Mr. Benny, but I had trouble with my new car.
Dennis, I didn't know you had a car.
Yes, my first one. When I drove down to the studio, I had to go around the block 86 times before I ran out of gas and the car stopped.
Well, that's the silliest thing. Dennis, when you want to stop a car, all you have to do is step on the brake.
Oh, brake.
Now, don't start that again. And now that you're here, let's have your song. What's it going to be?
Well, tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day, so I thought I'd like to sing Johnny God.
Well, sure, and I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
Thank
go ahead.
You.
It seems like only yesterday I left the port of Cork, and on a ship from Old Erin's Isle I landed in New York. Without a friend to meet me there and a stranger on the shore, I wore an honest Irish heart and fortune came galore. So here I am going back to dear Old Erin's Isle. The friends will meet me on the pier and they'll greet me with a smile. There are faces there that I'll surely forget, for I was so long away. Oh, my mother will introduce them all, and this to me will say, "Shake hand at your Uncle Mike, me boy, shake hand at your sister Kate. Here is the girl you used to swing down on the garden gate. Shake hands with all the neighbors and kiss the Colleens all. Oh, you're as welcome as the flowers are made to dear old Donegal. They'll give a party when I get back, and they'll come from near and far. They line the road for miles and miles with Irish yawning cars. The spirits are flowing, we'll all be gay, and we'll fill our hearts with joy. The piper will play an Irish wail to greet the Yankee boy. Oh, what a party we'll have there, and telling you'll never see the likes of it. Oh, tomorrow off to the church I'll go, and wedded I will be to my pretty little Colleen Bond, sweet Nellie McGee. Oh, Nellie was true and faithful to her dinny ar the sea. We'll join the harp and shamrock to the stars of liberty. They'll come Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffy, Malarkey, Mahone, Rafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connolly, Dolly, O'Dolly, Muldowney, Malone, Madigan, Cadigan, Lanahan, Flanahan, Fagan, O'Hagan, O'Hulahan, Finn, Shanahan, Lanahan, Ogany, Fogany, Kelly, O'Kelly, O'Benny, McGinn. Then I'll take the hand of my Uncle Mike, the hand of me Sister Kate. Oh, I'll hug and squeeze as much as I please the girl in the garden gate. I'll invite all the neighbors to me wedding great and small, and I'll live content and pay no rent in dear old Donegal.
Sung by Dennis Day. Very good, Dennis.
Ah, oh, bless you, may your cows never go dry. You know, Mr. Benny,
what?
I sang that song for my mother.
You what?
I sang that song for my mother.
Oh, well, it certainly is an appropriate song. I don't know anyone more Irish than your mother.
Yeah, she wouldn't see the Jolson story till I told her it was the life of Pat O'Brien.
No.
And she liked that new picture about Jerome Kern.
Which one?
Till the McLeods roll by.
Till the McLeods roll by?
I bet his mother thinks NBC stands for Nolan Brannigan and Cassidy.
Well, as long as it keeps her happy, I guess.
Hiya, all... Livy. Hello, kid. Sorry I'm late, Buster.
Well, Phil, look, it's about time you got here, you know.
Well, it wasn't my fault, Jackson, and I got a good excuse.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You're going to tell me that you overslept, jumped out of bed, dressed as fast as you could, and rushed over here.
Hey, how did you know?
You left a curler in your hair.
All right, so I got a curler in my hair. I overslept a little. I'm sorry I'm late, and let's forget it.
Forget it?
Unless you want to make something out of it.
No, I don't want to make anything out of it.
Phil... You must have gotten up on the wrong side of the bed.
Why?
You've got Alice's shoes on.
Yeah.
How do you like that? I told her 1,000 times, put them under the pillow, Blondie. Put them under the pillow.
Look, Phil, stop kidding. You wore Alice's shoes for a gag. You got your laugh. Now take them off.
What are you talking about, Jackson? We need that kind of laugh. Sight stuff. Television is here.
I know, I know.
Ah, television. That's when I'll shine. When people can hear and see Harris. Shangri-La with a ham hock.
Isn't that awful? You know, folks, he really thinks he's handsome. Phil, what makes you so egotistical?
I ain't egotistical. I'm much better looking than I think I am.
Oh. So you're not conceited, eh?
Not me. In my family, Alice is the one who's conceited.
Alice?
Yeah, she thinks she's prettier than I am.
Why, the ingrate, after all the years, you let her support you. Do it. Now, Phil, stardust eyes. Narcissus boy. Hey, Schlemiel.
What?
How about picking up your baton and making like you're leading a band, then see if you can't... Who can that be? Come in. Yes?
Mr. Benny, my name is Lewis. On last Thursday night, the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences gave out their annual award.
Yes, that's right.
At that affair, you were the master of ceremonies, weren't you?
Yes. In fact, I was on the stage during the entire proceeding.
Oh, that's what I want to see you about. There's an Oscar missing.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Lewis. Does the Academy Award Committee think for 1 minute that a man in my position, a celebrity, a star for 15 years, a man who is respected by millions, would stoop so low as to steal an Oscar?
Yes.
Oh.
He borrowed the tuxedo, too.
Mary, please. Mr. Lewis, I consider that an insult, and I wish that you'd get out of here now. Now, go on, get out.
All right. But before I go, there's another matter I want to talk to you about. The Owl Drugstore.
Get out of here. That's gratitude for you. The Academy Committee calls me up, asks me to be master of ceremonies, so I accept. What happens? Do I get any thanks? No. Do I get any salary? No. Just taxi fare and a lousy cheese sandwich. No butter.
Hey, Jackson, what about my band number?
Just a minute, Phil. We got to have a commercial first. Go ahead, Don. Let's have the commercial.
Well, Jack, I'm glad you finally got around to it.
What?
I've got a surprise for you.
Surprise? What is it?
Well, you had trouble getting a quartet. The sponsor insisted on having one, so I took things in my own hands.
Wait a minute, Don. You took things in your own little fat hands before. You got the Sportsman Quartet. They cost me $500 a week, and that's what caused all the trouble.
But, Jack, I got you another quartet, and it isn't going to cost you nearly as much.
I don't care if...
Jack, give him a chance to talk. Maybe this new group will satisfy the sponsor and solve your whole problem.
Well, all right, now, what did you do? I mean, who have you got?
Well, first of all, I only had to get three other fellas because you've already got Dennis, and you pay him anyway.
Well, now you're really thinking, Don. Where are the other three guys?
Oh, they'll be here any minute.
Okay, Don, I'll give them a chance. Who can tell? Maybe they'll... I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Hello, Rochester, what do you want?
I'm in a lot of trouble, boss. You shouldn't have asked me to bake a loaf of bread for dinner tonight.
Why, what happened?
Well, I took a small bowl and put in two cups of flour.
Uh-huh.
Then I put in a cake of yeast.
Uh-huh.
Then I added one cup of water and stirred it together.
Well?
It looked kind of dry, so I added more water.
I see.
Since I added more water, I threw in another cake of yeast.
Well, isn't that a lot of yeast?
That's what I thought, so I put in more water. More flour.
More flour.
Yeah. That made it too dry, so then I added more water.
Rochester.
That made it too soggy, so I put in some more yeast.
More yeast?
So to balance the proportions...
You didn't let it drop, anyway.
Huh? Yeah, I balanced the proportions with more flour.
Flour?
That made it too dry, so I poured in a quart of champagne.
Champagne?
I had to do something to break the monotony.
Rochester, that's ridiculous, mixing champagne with flour, water, and yeast.
We got the only loaf of bread with a bun on it.
Now, stop being silly. You made this whole thing up, and you know it. I thought so. Now, come on, Rochester. What'd you really call me for?
You know that thing you brought home Thursday night that you woke me up to show it to me?
Yes.
Do I shine it with brown polish or gold polish?
Don't bother shining it. I have to give it back. Goodbye.
Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
See, you rascal, you.
Never mind. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Makes up the wildest things I've ever heard in my life. Now, Don, what about the quartet you say you've got? Dennis is here. Where are the other three fellas?
Well, Jack, they ought to be here any minute. In fact, here comes one now. Andy Russell.
Andy Russell? Andy. Andy, I can't believe this. I mean, do you want to be in my quartet?
Why, sure, Jack, if it'll help you out.
Gee, this is wonderful. Dennis, this is Andy.
Where's Amos?
It's not the Andy and Amos and Andy. This is Russell. Not that Russell. Now, Andy, I'm thrilled with having you in my quartet. But,
That's Portuguese for how much money do you want?
Yes, Portuguese. I mean, how much money would you want?
Oh, $35 a week.
$35 a week?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it.
Well, would 30 be all right?
No, I'm perfectly willing to pay $35. You must spend at least half of that for tooth powder. Must be wonderful to have such sparkling teeth.
Well, it has its drawbacks.
Huh?
Well, when I talk to Donna Meachie, we blind each other.
I can understand that. Well, anyway, Andy, you're still...
Oh, hold it, Jack, hold it. Here comes another member of the quartet. Dick Haim!
Dick Haim! Dick, I haven't seen you since you were on my show 3 years ago.
Oh, I know, Jack. It's nice to be with you again.
Well, thanks. But tell me, Dick, why are you wearing those dark glasses?
Well, Andy Russell might smile, and I'm not taking any chances.
Oh, yes, the teeth. Mary, you remember Dick Haim, don't you?
Hoo-hoo-hoo!
Mary! Well, Dick, I'm certainly thrilled having you as a member of the quartet, but,
What? What's the matter, Dick? Can't you understand Portuguese?
Dick, what I'm trying to say is, well, if you're going to be in the quartet, how much money would you want?
$35 a week.
$35 a week?
Well, now, Jack, if you're going to start haggling, just forget about it.
No, I'm not haggling. I mean, I think you're worth every cent of it, you know? But, of course, I can't make
it... Hold it, Jack, hold it. Here comes another member of the quartet. Bing Crosby!
Crosby.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, LSMST.
Bing Crosby, I can't get over it.
You were expecting maybe a transcription.
I'm so surprised. I'm so surprised to see you. By the way, Bing, how's Dixie?
Ask Senator Claghorn. Oh, Crosby, you shouldn't have wasted that one here hoping to give you $2 for it.
Well, we needed that one. Now, Bing, believe me, I'd love to have you as one of my quartet, but,
$50. I understand Portuguese.
$50? Wait a minute, Bing. Andy Russell and Dick Haim are both willing to work for $35. Why do you want 50?
I got 4 kids.
Oh, yeah, I read where you're going to put him in the movie.
Yeah, one of them is almost 9. He's been loafing around the house long enough, I think.
Well, look, fellas, I know that you're all good singers individually, and Dennis has been with me a long time, but do you think you can all give me what I want as a quartet? Wait a minute, fellas. That's your idea of a quartet. You're starting off on the wrong foot.
Don't worry, Jack. Don't worry. They're just warming up. Now, do you want to hear what they prepared?
Of course. Now, let's see. 35 and 35 is 70, and 50 is 120. Not bad. All right, Don, let's see if they're worth... I mean, let's see what they've got to offer.
Okay, fellas, let's have it.
I'll be loving you always, with a love that's true
always.
When the things you plan need a helping hand, I will understand. Always.
LSMFT.
Always.
Fellas, wait a minute.
That's the smoke for me.
Oh, who the hell picked out this key, Dennis, eh?
Not for just enough.
Good, and the commercial was all right, but for my purposes, I gotta have something a little more lively. Do you think you can do it?
Yes, sir.
You bet.
Why, sure.
Yeah, I've been smoking Philco's for 9 to 20 years.
No, Bing, that's not what I mean.
Oh, Jack, Bing's right. Every time you sit down to listen to your radio, your Autolite are lucky.
Autolite, you had to get the plug in, huh? Now, come on, Phil, I want to hear a livelier number. How about it?
Okay, take it, boys.
He always sings, ragging music to the candle as it clings.
back and forward in the saddle on a horse.
Pretty good horse, eh?
Why the syncopated hitters, they be such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater. How they run, oh, how they run when they hear the battle gun, because the western folks all know.
He's a highfalutin, scootin', shootin' son of a gun from Arizona. Ragtime cowboy,
all that cowboy, L-S-M-F-T, puff, puff.
Now, fellas, the singing I can't complain about, but that time you didn't give me enough commercial and was just a little bit too fast. I want something in between the two numbers that you sang.
Oh, we have another song, Jack. It'll be just exactly what you like.
You have?
Hey, Dick, I'll sing bass this time.
No, no, I want to sing bass.
I think I ought to sing bass and get down where the money is.
Look, fellas, don't argue about it. Why don't you flip a coin for us?
I think the old man is right here. I got a coin. What do you say, Dick? Heads or tails?
Hey, Bing, where'd you get that funny-looking quarter?
I had lunch at the Al drugstore.
Look, fellas, you're holding up the show. Now, this cost me $120. If you don't attend to business, I'll call the whole thing off. Now, come on, let me have your other song.
Yes, Mr. Benny.
Take it, boys.
Nothing could be finer than Goldsboro, Carolina, in the morning. Don and Phil and Jack go out and take that fine tobacco in the morning.
Round and firm and fully.
You left out a word.
Easy on the draw, it's jolly.
It is the best tobacco that you have ever thought.
Bad English, fella.
Happy Boone and Seedy never looked the least
bit
seedy
want,
in the morning. They're picking and they're planting while they're singing and they're chanting in the morning.
L-S-M-F, L-S-M-F, M-F-F-T. That's a lucky sight to smoke for me. Nothing could be finer than Goldsboro, Carolina, in the morning.
No, fellas, that's not it. Look.
If you smoke a lucky, they will love you in Kentucky.
That's not what I want. Look, fellas, that's Don.
Now give me your lucky sack, one for Pat and one for Mike.
No, that's not what I want. Fellas, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, look, fellas, you tried, you meant well, and believe me, I appreciate it. But you boys just won't do.
What?
How do you like that?
Now, you can leave your names, and maybe something will come up. So long, fellas.
Well, how do you like that? Oh, yeah.
There's no use talking. I just got to get my old quartet back.
Jack will be back in just a minute. First, here is Basil Rysdale.
As you listen to the chant of the tobacco auctioneer, remember, L-S-M-F-T.
American.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. Mr. Alexander G. Irvin of Reedsville, North Carolina, has been a tobacco warehouseman for 14 years. He really knows tobacco, so listen to what he said.
Facts are facts, and at the auctions for a good many seasons, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy good, ripe, mellow tobacco. The kind of fine tobacco that you just can't beat for real smoking quality. I've smoked Lucky's myself for 14 years.
Remember, independent tobacco experts like Mr. Irvin can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. No doubt about it.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and fine tobacco means real, deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
I want to thank Bing Crosby, Dick Hames, and Andy Russell for being with us tonight. It was very nice.
Hey, Jackson, just a minute.
What is it, Bing?
Weekly Variety, which is the outstanding newspaper of the entertainment world, has given you an award for your 15 years in radio. They feel that your weekly clam bakes on the air have been consistently right in the groove for, lo, these many years, and I agree with them. Congratulations.
Well, thanks, Bing. Thanks very much. On behalf of my cast and writers who have been with me so long, I want to thank the Variety for this honor. And say, Bing, it was nice of you to make this presentation to me, but I wish you'd do me a favor.
Sure, Jack. Anything. What is it?
After all, we got a classy program. The next time you come over, tuck your shirt in, will you? I mean, those palm trees waving around upset me. Good night, folks.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.